last week, we talked about the kingdom of God, and we're going to continue on that theme. Jesus is going to give us another angle or another way to look at this theme. What is the kingdom of God? Most people in our culture, I think, look at Christianity as a cultural or philosophical position, one of many. It's viewed as a set of philosophical ideas, and people I've noticed talk about it or view it like an ice cream shop. There are a lot of different flavors. There are a lot of different philosophies and ideas that answer questions about the nature of God, ethics, morality, the nature of the universe, the nature of your soul. There are many different positions on this. Christianity is one of them. And so people end up sampling Christianity or trying part of it on, or like trying on a pair of pants that you hope brings out your good parts and hides your bad parts, you know, those types of things. And so you got people that say, I like this part. I enjoy this part. I agree with this. I'll try this. This is good for me. I love this part, but I don't like that. That doesn't match up, and I don't like that either. That's the way I think a lot of us think of Christianity, and I think that a lot of us have brought that into the church as well. But St. Paul says something really, really interesting in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20 that really turns all of those ideas on its head. He says this. He says, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. In other words, what he's saying is that it's possible to adopt Christianity in word. That means that you accept the position. You accept the point of view. You accept the ideals and the beliefs. You can accept it very well. You can understand it very well, and yet not have received it as it is. What is it? It's power. That's what Jesus says. That's what the Bible says throughout. Paul, again, said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the what? Power of God. He doesn't say it's the idea of God or the philosophy of God or the tremendous message of God. It's the power of God. Now, it is a good idea. It does have philosophy in it. It does have a viewpoint on a lot of things, but those ideas are expressions of the power. They come out of the power. They come from the power. Christianity is, in essence, a power. And there are people in the church, and I'm assuming here today, that because there have been people that have come through the church throughout the centuries, that have it in word, but they're not really Christians because they don't have it in power. What do I mean by that? Well, Paul said it's not in word, but it's in power. People come in and say, I believe this and I believe that. I can, it makes even sense to me. I can sign off on a list of doctrines. It's got scientific backing. I can see it logically. Those are all important, but if that's all it is, you're not quite there yet. Because it's not just in word or in doctrine, it's in power. Although words and doctrine are important. You know what I'm saying? Okay. How do you know then? Have you ever looked into your heart like a garden? This is a garden in a pot. Have you ever looked into your heart like a garden and said, look, that's there. And that doesn't make sense that it's there because that's not the kind of garden I am. In fact, it's inexplicable that that's there. That shouldn't be there because I know me, and yet it is. And I can't explain it except for a power that has come upon me. And if you can't look at your life that way, if you don't speak of yourself in that way, if there's nothing remarkable about your soul in that way, you may not be a Christian, okay? And that might scare some of you, and I don't think that's entirely bad. I think that's a part of my job and what the Bible is getting at, to challenge those things. In fact, like I said, I'm betting that there are people here this morning who have been coming for months, maybe years. You're involved in ministries and serving and tithing and all sorts of things, and yet Christianity just happens to fit your personality type anyway. But is there something inside that's different? In Matthew, just to drive it home, Jesus, there's dirt everywhere. Jesus said in Matthew that a day will come. I think, in my opinion, I think one of the scariest things that Jesus has ever said, the day will come, the end of days, the end of time, man will be sitting before me, and people will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not minister in your name, tithe in your name, do miraculous things in your name, all this stuff in your name, and yet he will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Gosh, if that doesn't scare you, my friend. So it brings us back. We, you know, Christians and people who aren't Christians have to look, what does it mean to be a Christian? That's what Jesus is trying to get at through Luke and through his teaching over and over again, through different angles, different ways of looking. Let me liken it to this. Let me show you this. You can't just put it in a sentence. He has lots of ways of looking at it because it's such an enormous idea. What does it mean? Now, without using the actual word, this is exactly what Jesus is getting at in our passage today. He's saying Christianity is a ruling power. And he chooses two metaphors to help us picture it. Let's look at it. Verse 18 through 21, we're just going to look at four verses. Jesus asked, what is the kingdom of God like? What should I compare it to? It's like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air perched in its branches. Again, he asked, what should I compare the kingdom of God to? It's like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked through the entire dough. Here, Jesus gives us two metaphors that, again, just really challenges our perspective on Christianity. Christianity is not just about forgiveness. That's what, as a pastor, a lot of people tell me that. You know, Christianity, that's what it's about. It's about the love of God and has the power to forgive. It's not just about that. That's wonderful, and it leads to forgiveness. But if that's all it is, if I try hard enough and God will forgive me, then God save us from Christianity. To think that we're here on our own and Jesus Christ came as the worst thing he could be, an example? You guys, then all we've got here is an ideal. That's it. But if it's a power, if it's the power of life that comes into me, okay, then we've got a completely different way of living, a completely different life. And that's the point of these parables. The kingdom of God is a ruling power. It's not in word only, but in power. But what is the nature of this power? Let's analyze it a little bit. These parables tell us at least two things. I've got 2 points for us this morning. First, Christianity is the power of new life. Secondly, Christianity is the power to grow. That's all we're going to look at. The power that comes into our lives is the power of life. It's an organic power. It's a living power. It's, according to this, it's a seed. It's a seed. But then secondly, it's the power of growth, because both the seed and yeast, they grow. So that's where I'm getting my 2 points. So Christianity is a growing power, not necessarily an explosive power, if you've noticed that. Yeast and seeds don't explode, do they? They grow, they ooze. They take over slowly. It's an eventual yet definite power. It's not the power of dynamite. It's not chemical power. It's an organic thing. So first, the kingdom of God's the power of new life. As we've said, it's important to know that being a Christian is not just about getting a set of ideas. Although we do need this, Christianity is not just about philosophy. And Christianity, as wonderful it is, it's not just about forgiveness. Being a Christian, entering the kingdom of God, or having the kingdom of God enter into you, I guess that's better a way to say it, is to be raised to new life, to a new order of life, to a higher order of life. And you'll see it in our first metaphor. We stapled mustard seeds to the back of your bulletins. I thought later, if you want to get your hands dirty, it's Compassion Sunday. It's also Earth Day. If you want to get your hands dirty after lunch, you can plant a seed in some space that you have, and you'll always be reminded of this passage and what it means for your spiritual life and what Christianity is. We have here a seed, a mustard seed. I had some kiddos stuff these packets. Some of you have one seed. Some of you have a mustard orchard in your in your thing. We have here a seed. If you didn't stop to consider, you might think of the dirt as being dead and the seed being the living thing, but not exactly. And those of you that have studied this or have a background in earth sciences, you know what I'm saying. Dirt can grow seed because it already has, good dirt anyway, it already has organic chemical compounds in it that allow things to grow. And when you plant a seed in the dirt, which I'm going to do right now because it's fun to do this and preach at the same time. You plant a seed in the dirt. When it becomes a tree, what's going on there? The seed is being lifted up to a higher level of life. That's what's happening. And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about when he says of you, you must be born again. This is exactly what he's saying. First of all, he's saying you've got to receive a seed. Look at how small these things are. If you want to get them out, you can. Look at that. Yeah, you can't look at it. Only I can. It's so small. First of all, you've got to receive a seed. That's what Jesus is saying. Thank you. And the Bible in other places tells us what this seed is. 1 Peter 1:23 says, you've been born again, here it is, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. James chapter 1 says, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be the first fruits of his creation. John chapter 3, and here's, it's famous, unless you're born of the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of God. He doesn't say unless you sign a doctrinal statement. Somebody says, it's much stronger language, unless you're born of the Spirit. 2 Peter 1 says, through his great and very precious promises, you are participating in divine nature. Strong language. So you can escape the corruption that's in the world. So those are all saying the same thing. All of those verses are saying the same thing. What it means to be a Christian, it's not just to get forgiveness. It's not just to receive and adopt new ideals and a philosophy. It's to be born again. And to be born again means to receive eternal life, to receive a seed from the outside. 2 Peter chapter 3 calls that seed the Spirit of the living God, or 1 Peter, the divine nature. The life substance of God in some way comes in from the outside and breaks into your life. In other words, the gospel is not something that you act upon. It's something that acts upon you. The gospel, Christianity, is not something that you grasp. It grasps you. You sense that someone, something bigger than me from the outside is coming upon me. You see? Something's been put in there and it's gonna change me. What does it mean to be born again? My family in New York, I talk to them and they say, okay, there are different branches of Christianity. There's the Catholic Christians, the Lutheran Christians, the Protestant Christians, and then there's the born again types. That's what they'll say. And they're the craziest of them all. And I'm like, hi, I'm here. I'm in the room. But according to the Bible, this is the only kind of Christianity there is. Otherwise, it's just in word. This is where the power comes from, to be born again. And it means that you're raised from a lower level of life to a higher level of life. For example, an animal is on a higher level of life than a plant. Why? Because the vegetable order of life, it's a way to live, but for an animal or a human, it's no way of living at all. It's just existing. See, you may be existing, but you're not living. In other words, here's our equation. The level of life for lower level life forms is just mere existence from anything on a higher level. A person might be on life support and have no brain waves. We say that person's living in a vegetable state. They're alive, but that, you know, not in the full sense of the word to humanity. Each higher level of life is so much higher than the next that to go back down and live at that lower level would be just existing. It wouldn't be truly living. And the Bible says that when you and I receive life, the Holy Spirit, the seed of eternal life, you're born again. You're pushed to a higher level of life compared to where you are, compared to where you just were. You're really living now. Wow, now you're really living. And to go back to where you were would just be existing. You couldn't, you can't do it. Let me give you an example. Tim Keller gave a great example of this. He compared plant life, animal life, human life, when it came to the realms of thinking, willing, and feeling. And here's what he came up with. Here's the essence of what he was saying. In thinking, in willing, and in feeling, you can see each order of life is far higher than the others. So much higher that you can, if you were to go back, you would just say, well, that you're just existing. Let me show you what he means. Anything that's alive, let's just start with thinking. Anything that's alive is capable of sensation. In other words, it has some way of sensing what's there, okay? Plants can sense some things, but animals have way more ability to sense the things around them because they have the five senses. Plants can't hear or see, right? So there are a lot of things that plants can't sense, but if you move up to the animal world, they've got five senses, but when you go to the human beings can sense a lot more things than animals can. Like, okay, is there a difference between justice and injustice? Let me ask you, you're a human, can you see it? Or can you feel it? You can feel it, can't you? It's something that's just there, justice and injustice, that you can sense. They can't sense that. Beauty versus ugliness, right versus wrong, justice versus tragedy. Animals can't sense those things. Human life is far more above the animal life, to where to go down to the animal level, we wouldn't be living to the fullest sense that we can live. In the area of thinking and sensation, each level of life sees way more. Let's go to willing or volition, acting. Do plants act? Yes, they can respond. They respond to stimuli, but their responses are completely automatic. Okay? Animal responses are a little less automatic, and human responses are even less automatic. In other words, the higher the level of being, the higher the level of life, the more you're able to have more self-mastery, you could say. The more you're able to think, to make choices. We call it the art of volition. You can think for yourself. The more you have the ability to reflect, the lower forms of life just respond with instinct. It's just a reflex. But the higher orders of life, as you move on up, they have higher levels of self-mastery. Okay, with thinking, volition, feeling. We wouldn't say the plants have any feelings at all. We would say that animals seem to have the rudiments of feelings. But can an animal grieve the way a human can? No. No. Why? Because human beings, like we said, they can sense the difference between something tragic and something harmonious. Can an animal rejoice the way human beings can? No. Not the same way. In other words, higher orders of life bring about themselves a higher level of thinking, acting, and feeling. When you are born again, you are pushed into a new order and a higher order of life than the order in which you just were. Let me put it this way. In comparison to where you just were, to compare, you were dead. That's why the Bible says that over and over again. Quote, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but I made you alive. What's he saying? He's saying compared to where you were, you are dead. Now you've got real life, quality of life. You were just dirt, but I put in the seed of God's life, and now there's all this new life and power, a higher order of life. How so? Well, let's trace it through. I'll summarize, and then we'll get into it. Thinking. How does it change your thinking to be born again? A person who has eternal life sees things that they never saw before. Divine realities, like the holiness of God, the love of God, the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ, heaven and hell. These things you see, you sense them now, and you never saw them before. They were just ideas before, phantoms in a sense. Maybe they were boring. Maybe they made absolutely no sense to you. But when you have eternal life, they're there now. You can sense them because you're at a whole new order of life. Or second, you have the ability to break habits that you've never had before. that you never had before. See, before you get into eternal life, before you experience that life, there's all sorts of ways that you felt like a slave. You know, you were reacting instead of acting. Maybe trying to get out, but you just couldn't. But when you become a Christian, slowly, mostly, sometimes quickly, but in my case, slowly, you find yourself able to do things that you couldn't before. You look at your life. You know, I look at myself 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, now, and I think those are like 8 mics ago. I feel like an onion that keeps having layers that God is shedding. There's things that I can do now that I was never able to do. I'm in relationship to a lot of different things and behaviors now that I was never in that kind of relationship with before. I have the ability to say no now. And then thirdly, feeling. You feel the love of God. You feel God in your heart. Let me tell you, it's wonderful to have a dog love you, isn't it? I was giving Kim a ride the other day, and she had her daughter's little puppy with her. And the dog, you know, there's dogs, but then there's puppies. You know what I mean? They might get ugly, but right now they're puppies. And so you don't worry about that. And the dog jumped over and just licked every square inch of my face at least 5 times. And you know what? It did something for me. It did. I was like, oh, this is really fun. This is so, and my heart began to glow a little bit, and this little puppy breath, and you know, the little daggers for teeth that it had. It hurt, but it kind of hurt so good. The love of a dog does something, but I'll tell you what, nothing like the love of a child. Nothing like that. Nothing like the love of a spouse. Nothing like the love of God. You see, let me tell you something. Your heart was built for the love of God. It's what you were made for. You were built for it. Not just to believe it, not just to think about it, not just to analyze it and agree with it. Those are important, but not just that. Not until the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. Are you really going to find out what your feelings were even made to do in the first place? You'll come alive. It's a whole new order of life. Have you experienced that? Do you have that? I'm not asking if you agree with it, because it's not in word only. It's in power. Do you have that? In other words, what Paul says, what Peter says, what Jesus is trying to say right here is that being a Christian is to have the foundation of your life shaken to its core. It's to be turned inside out, to be completely new. That's what it means. Has that happened to you? Or do you have the kingdom of God in word but not in power? That's the first point. We have a few minutes left. Here we go. Second point. This power is, though organic, it is the hidden, gradual, secret power of growth. Both the seed and the yeast in our metaphors that Jesus gives grows. It's really interesting because the power of the yeast and the seed is almost deceptive. For example, the mustard seed is really, really small. That's why Jesus chose it. He's trying to get a point across. He chose the smallest one he could think of. It's way smaller than an acorn, much smaller than a walnut. Much smaller than what you would typically think would grow into a tree. Jesus shows us the tiniest seed that you could ever think of that a tree will grow out of. Something powerful will come out of that. Let me ask you this. If you were to have a mustard seed get in a head-on collision with a piece of concrete, what would win? The concrete, right? Every time. But we also know that if you stick a seed under a sidewalk and give it a few years, it's no contest. The seed will crack that concrete. It will. That's the power of gradual growth. The seed is organic. It brings out life. The slab is inorganic. The life is going to win every time. What's that famous quote from Jurassic Park? Life will find a way. Right? And like I said, take it from me. This is encouraging. For some of you, if you're like me, man, growth is slow. It's slow going. But every once in a while, you look down into your heart and you go, hey, hey, little fella, I'm going to water you and see if you'll grow more. And soon you've got a crop and you've got things. And by the time, soon you're looking, you're going, wow, I am not even the same person. I'm growing into the reality of who God said that I am, a new person. And I'm growing into that reality day by day, slowly, slowly. I read that G. Campbell Morgan once went to Italy and saw a 600-year-old tombstone. And there was a huge slab of marble over the grave, but an acorn must have been thrown in there because this tree had grown out and cracked the marble and rolled the slab right on off. And Morgan said that he suddenly realized that if God would put that kind of power in gradual biological growth into an acorn, think how much gradual potential that you and I have as children of God. God's life has been planted in your heart. Is there any habit in your life that can't overwhelm and beat? What are you worried about? What do I get so worried about? It's gonna win. I don't care how stubborn that concrete is in your heart. You got that seed planted in there, you just give it time. It'll win. It's a promise. See, people, here's our problem. We're expecting a collision with Christianity. And everything would be different then. A boom. And now I'm different. All my problems are gone. The slab just falls right off. But instead, we have this hidden power of the kingdom of God. We have the power of inevitable, gradual, secret, but relentless growth. It's relentless. And that comes into your heart when you're born again. The yeast is the same thing. Yeast is another very powerful metaphor that Jesus uses. The yeast comes into the dough. It doesn't replace the dough, but it transforms the dough into its likeness. And it grows, it lifts the dough with it. In the same way, the Spirit of God, the new life, it comes into your life and it doesn't replace your personality. This was one of the biggest struggles for me when it came to becoming a Christian. I honestly thought to myself, if I become a Christian, do I have to be like that? There's some weird Christians out there. Because we're all human, you know, and I was thought, I couldn't be that even if I tried, and I don't have a desire to want to be like that. And I was so relieved to know that no, God's holiness, his love, his attributes grow up with me, and I really become my true self. I find who I really am because of this new life. You've got your personality, you've got your gifts, you've got God's Spirit. It's powerful, and you can still be you, but be new. The attributes of God and your personality. What does all this mean? It means the way you know that you're a Christian or not is not necessarily that all your problems have cracked and fallen off. That's good news, isn't it? It means we can be honest. We still got real big problems. We still have issues, the stubborn ones, okay? It may take a while for that mustard seed to destroy that sidewalk, but it will. It will. In light of this, what could be so bad in your life? What habits are so entrenched that the life of God can't root them out still? Really? Have hope, dear people. Really, as from one fellow sinner to the rest of you, God is powerful. He can do it. He will do it. If you feel weak, of course you do. You're just dirt. You can't make the life happen in and of itself that you want, but when God puts his seed in there, oh, there's so much potential. There's power. Well, how do you tell if that's the life you have? Very quickly, simply, are you growing? Is there growth? Let's look back to the analogy of the higher order of life that Keller gave us. Are you growing in your acting? Are you, your volition, your will, are you growing in your thinking? Are you growing in your feeling? It's pretty simple. Let's look at thinking. Here's how you tell if you have new life. The ideas about God and doctrines become more than doctrines and more than ideas. They're there, they're real. His holiness is not just a concept. His love is not just a concept. Jesus dying on the cross is not just something that you go, yeah, I learned that from Sunday school. It becomes real. It rocks your soul. It's everything. These become realities that thrill you, search you, even disturb you, but they're there. They're real. Let me tell you, the way you know if you're a Christian, the way you know that this life is advancing in you is there are things that are more there today than they were 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 2 months ago. The death of Christ is there. The life of Christ is there. More than just thoughts, but there. They become part of who you are. Secondly, look at your will, volition. You can grow more in self-mastery. You can, because you're not just an animal. You're not just an animal, according to the Bible. You've been raised to a whole new level of life. You have power that lives in you. What Jesus has done to you becomes more real than what other people have done to you, so you can forgive. That's how it works. Why are you so down on yourself when you realize that Jesus died for you? When you realize, okay, the cross should make you learn two things simultaneously. The cross says, you're way worse than you ever thought. You should feel lousy. And at the same time, I'm more loved than I ever dreamed imaginable. That's the balance. And that'll help you act differently. And finally, in your emotion, when you realize that Jesus loves you, truly loves you, I don't care what personality type you have, your emotions will ignite. In your own way, according to your personality, but they'll ignite. It doesn't matter in what condition you walked into this place this morning, you can leave a completely different person. That's the power of the gospel, and it's power. It's power. Has it happened to you? Is it happening right now? Do you feel it stirring within you? Christians, are you going back to a blessed memory, a blessed time when Jesus first whispered your name and said, I love you? People that thought you were Christians, maybe you're really getting it now. Going, oh, okay. Do you want to open yourself and receive that seed? Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. In fact, let's have everybody stand up. And let's, if you wouldn't mind closing your eyes, I want to give every person in here privacy. Because I'm going to ask you to receive this seed that God is offering you. He offers it to everyone. That's also good news. It's to everyone. If you're here thinking, well, not me, no, it's not true. You're here for a reason. The Bible says, for God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son. The whole world, you're part of that. He loves you. Receive it. So if your eye, with your eyes closed, if anybody here wants to receive newness of life, you want to know you're a Christian, you want to know you got this new life growing inside of you that will last for eternity, why don't you raise your hand, look at me, shoot up a flare, something so I can see you. I see you. Yep. I see you. Any more? Oh, praise the Lord. Lots of people. Amen. Anybody else? Yep, I see you in the back. Wonderful, I see you. Oh, it's beautiful, you guys. And this is what you do. Just pray this in your heart. But here's the thing. You got to mean it. It's not just repeating words. It's power. And you're sensing a power that's coming over you. Here's what you say in your heart, or something like it. Say, dear Jesus, I sense your power coming into me. Thank you that you're not asking me to act upon you, but you're acting upon me. You're coming after me. It means that you love me and that you see me. Everything about me. And yet you still love me. And I receive that power. I confess that I'm a sinner. I'm just dirt. I can't make anything happen. I can't unseat my habits. I can't stop my proclivities. I'm stuck. I've got to take myself wherever I go. But I believe that you have raised me to eternal life today. That you died in my place. That you lived the life that I should have lived and died the death that I deserve. Release your power in me to grow into that new reality. You raised to life. And you've raised me to life. I want to know you in my thoughts. I want to know you in my will. I want to know you in my emotion. Do it all, Jesus. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.